Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Federal funding for Health Choice, North Carolina's health care program for low-income children, ran out October 1st, and Congress has so far not moved to renew it. That means more than 100,000 children in the state are at risk of losing their health care if the funding is not restored. Here to talk about it and to weigh in on a new report about struggles faced by children of color is Rob Thompson with NC Child. Well, Rob, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris.
A lot to talk about and what's happening to kids in North Carolina. I guess one thing that hasn't gotten a ton of attention because of all the activity, let's say, in Washington these days is the Children's Health Care Program, which Congress has failed to authorize. Tell us about that.
Sure. So over 250,000 kids in North Carolina get their health insurance through the state Children's Health Insurance Program. And in North Carolina, it's called NC Health Choice. The federal funding for that program actually ran out on October 1st of this year. And so we are just operating on basically on what we have in the bank right now, which is scheduled to run out in spring of next year at some point, maybe February or March. And Congress still hasn't passed a bill to restore this funding. And really, we're just kind of, it's a countdown game right now. If they don't do it, a lot of kids are going to lose their health insurance.
And I guess some states are worse off. They don't have as much money in the bank.
Yeah, that's right. You got some states who are going to run out of money in the next couple of months. Some states are already notifying parents that this is going to happen. States are considering enrollment freezes. So even if we don't get all the way to February or March, North Carolina's got to say, well, we can't keep enrolling new kids in this program if we don't know if there's going to be money to pay for them. So the impacts are going to start sooner rather than later.
What happens if the money runs out?
Well, a couple things. So one is, without getting too far into the weeds, we have about 110,000 kids in North Carolina of the 250 who are insured through this program would lose insurance almost immediately unless the state ponied up the cash to pay for them. The other 140,000 or so, they're actually enrolled in Medicaid but funded through CHIP. They would be protected through 2019.
We're talking about 110,000 kids, though, who's literally their welfare at stake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is health insurance for kids who have serious health care problems, some of them. All of them from working families where parents are trying to make ends meet, and they really need this support.
It's interesting. There doesn't seem to be, there might be, but the public positions about this, there isn't a big ideological block opposing this reauthorization of this money.
No, it's a bipartisan program. It was created in a bipartisan way back in the late 90s, and it's always had bipartisan support, and that continues now. There hasn't been opposition from either party about reauthorizing it. It's gotten caught in the political mess that is D.C. right now, and it's just a matter of raising the priority of this issue for people in Congress so that they put all that junk aside and actually do what's best for kids.
Another program that enrollment has soon underway for the Affordable Care Act, which has a big impact on children as well.
Sure. In North Carolina, about 55,000 kids are enrolled through Marketplace plans. So less than CHIP and Medicaid, but it's still a significant amount. And a lot of their parents get health insurance through Marketplace plans. And this year, as you know, we've cut the enrollment period in half. We've pulled back on advertising. We've cut the people who are hired to actually help folks get enrolled. And so it's a critical time for people to get out there, get enrolled if they're eligible. There's been a lot of misinformation about whether or not enrollment is happening even. And it is. The ACA is open for business, and we hope folks get enrolled.
Our president actually said recently Obamacare is over. He was, of course, talking about when he was not funding the cost-sharing subsidies. But if people aren't paying attention and they hear that on their television, it sends an interesting message.
It is. And, you know, quite frankly, that's the intention of the administration right now. They're trying to undermine Obamacare and trying to undermine the program and keep people from enrolling. And it's sad, but we hope people enroll anyway and get the message that they can and should.
Let's move to a new report about some struggles children of color and immigrant kids are having, a new report from the NEE Casey Foundation. Tell us about that.
Sure. So the report looks at, I think it's 12 indicators of well-being. And then what it does is it disaggregates the data based on race and ethnicity and assigns scores based on those 12 indicators. And then it has an aggregate score of 0 to 1,000 for, you know, Hispanic children, African-American children, white children, Asian-American, and so on. And so what we see in the report is that children of color aren't doing nearly as well and face a lot more barriers to success than their white counterparts.
Do we know why?
Well, I think there's a lot of good theories about why that is. You know, I think there's structural racism is one of the first thing that comes to my mind, in which children of color face systemic barriers to being successful. And that happens in the school system, that happens in our economy, it happens in housing, it happens in transportation. And we've got to take a close look at these if we really want to ensure that all kids have opportunity to achieve their full potential.
I know we've talked about this before, but you know, not too long ago, it felt like people were just talking about children and how they were doing without realizing that they're in families. And I know that's changed. NC Child and a lot of other groups have talked about some of this may be how families are doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, children don't grow up in isolation. It's not like a child is born and he or she just kind of blossoms. They're in a context. They're in an environment. They're in communities and in families. And if we don't support the families and communities in which they're growing up, we're missing a huge opportunity to help kids succeed.
I noted one of the things in the report was increased economic opportunity for parents. And despite the economic recovery, there are a lot of low and middle income families that are struggling.
That's right. You know, I think the economic recovery has been largely limited or restricted to folks at the higher end of the income scale. And so you see one thing that the report shows is that there are more families of color living in concentrated areas of poverty than there were the last time we did this report 3 years ago. So that's in some ways not getting any better. It's actually getting worse. So there's a lot of room for improvement there.
Are we making some progress in some areas? There was, a mixed reviews from this past legislative session at the number of slots for kids in pre-K was increased, but that money comes from block grants, which are in danger. So it's hard to know if we're doing better or not.
You know, there's some incremental things that we're doing better. There's so much more that we can and should be doing to ensure that families have what they need to be successful. From an economic standpoint and from a family support standpoint, there's just a lot more that we need to do.
Before I let you go, one question that obviously these kids learn in school, and we're still having a big battle in our state. We have a lot of low-income schools that are struggling and don't have the funding they need, which I would imagine has a direct impact on how well those children are doing.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, education is a key component of a child's success. And I think one thing that our legislature, and this is not just limited to the legislature, that we all don't appreciate enough is that a child's success in school is tied directly to the communities and families that the child is growing up in. And so, you know, with the third grade reading, for instance, we've had so much focus on that, and it's all about this testing in third grade. We're not looking far enough back into what kind of environments a child is growing up in, what kind of early education opportunities he or she might get, and how healthy is the child? Is he or she getting the health care he needs? Are they exposed to violence? Do they have an economically secure family? All these things contribute to learning and success later on, and we're just really, well, we have a long way to go in terms of understanding that.
Well, thanks for what you're doing to help us understand it. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks for your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Up next, President Trump's efforts to sabotage the Affordable Care Act. Stay with us.